You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
So hello everyone. I don't think we were live before, but we are live now. I am your host Cassie with Full Woman Radio, and with me is Emily M the Gem. I think we have to go over some of the things that we talked about just briefly, although we thought we were live. So
yeah, let's do that.
So let's talk about you.
Yes.
You're with, well, first let me introduce you first.
Yes.
So people don't know. Emily Clancy is with Planned Parenthood. She is the Michigan community organizer.
East Michigan community organizer.
Based in Detroit. You traveled throughout Metro Detroit and Southeast Michigan and Flint to educate various communities on Planned Parenthood services and advocate for reproductive justice for all. So I'm always interested in learning about how people became a part of advocacy and social justice in the community, if you don't mind sharing just what you just said again.
Yes. I get to revise my answer even, so that's great. Let me first start off by saying, like, I was fortunate enough to be raised by a very bold, outspoken mother who always taught me about the importance of speaking out for myself and standing my ground as a woman. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned to you earlier, you know, some of my connections to social justice really developed later on in my life, like especially when I was in college, an undergrad at Oakland University. I had some amazing mentors and women professors that taught me immense things about the feminist agenda. But even before that, I think what really prepared me to take on this space. I always had sort of an interest in body politics and wanting to feel like my body was my own. You know, it's such a struggle for young women all over the world to feel that. And I developed an eating disorder when I was a young adolescent woman. And I really think it was kind of the growth and transformation and the healing that took place there that brought me into this space where I wanted to learn more about other women's experiences in their bodies and really fight for those bodily autonomy rights. And it was when I was an undergrad at Oakland University that I saw this project on campus. We had a very active pro-life group. They brought on campus this genocide awareness project, which is super misleading, but it had images of aborted fetuses and African-American lynchings and Nazi Holocaust survivors. And the visceral reaction from the student body and, and some of the women I saw walking back and forth and just looking at this, having to revisit their own trauma, that's what propelled me forward and made me commit to the idea that I wanted to be in this fight too. So after I graduated, I moved to Detroit. So I'm originally from St. Clair County. And there have been so many amazing women, like the one sitting beside me, that have really enriched my journey and an understanding of, outside my own experiences, what women face as a whole.
Okay. And, you know, it's a very selfless act, you know, of social justice. And it's hard work. It could be isolating. It could be really difficult when you have people who are totally opposed your point of view, and you are so passionate and you know the truth about what you speak, but they don't really hear it, you know, because they are so indoctrinated in their own way of how they were raised and how what they've heard. And and I have to admit, before I started working with different organizations, you know, I've also heard the stories of, you know, Planned Parenthood is supposed to be genocide specifically for Black women and used as a tool to control Black populations. And but it was back, I think, in 2014 or 15 when Ted Cruz was trying to petition to get Margaret Sanger, who's the founder of Planned Parenthood. She, her bust was part of, was a part of a Smithsonian installation with other civil rights leaders. And they, he was like, no, this needs to be out of there. She, is horrible, and she tried to kill African American people. And I'm like, you know, he never advocated for us, really. So now all of a sudden we're on the agenda. I don't get that. I don't see that from him.
Yeah. You know, and this is a really, it is a complicated thing to discuss because Margaret Sanger does have this very flawed and complex history. You know, it was over 100 years ago when she founded Planned Parenthood, which is not to make any excuse or dismiss any of her her wrongdoings per se, but for the conservative right, using some myths that have developed and manipulating information around her life has been used as a tool to really discredit the work she did in bringing forward the birth control movement to America. And I mean, I can talk a little bit, too, about some of that history that, that gets placed out of context, if that's helpful. You know, Margaret Sanger, like I mentioned, like I think a lot of the superheroes we even see on film today, like, has that that complicated history. And so in the early 20th century, when Margaret Sanger was working as a nurse in New York on the Lower East Side and really – you know, looking at the experiences of women she helped that were dying and sick and ill from getting trying to abort have illegal abortions. So, you know, when she saw that, she really wanted to develop a plan forward and and worked with the medical institution and doctors and scientists to sort of put forward the agenda for birth control. And around that time, eugenics was the very popular trend in the medical and science industry. It was even taught in on campuses at schools. And Margaret Sanger, in some ways, did dabble in the eugenics movement.
Eugenics meaning that the idea of only having a certain people breed a certain people so that you won't have any defective races.
It was a way of sort of like purifying the human body. And from Margaret Sanger's records and notes, we know she talked about it a lot from the viewpoint of wanting to cure the human race of mental illness, of hereditary diseases. But she was always staunchly opposed to the idea that eugenics should be used to regulate the human population in the sense that one race is superior to another. And I think her work really does speak for its, for itself. You know, I can't vindicate her, and I don't think anybody can, no matter how many books and research comes out around this. But I do think in knowing about her work and efforts she put forward, especially in the rural South, to help African-American women access birth control and reproductive health, I think that work really does speak for itself. And it, it is unfortunate that the sort of conservative side of history has really used that as a narrative against the abortion movement and against women's rights as a, as a way to really undermine and discredit it.
Well, in doing my research, when I saw that that was used as a narrative around Margaret Sanger and how all of a sudden African Americans are propped up as, you know, them trying to champion our cause, I then started to look deeper into the discussion, and I wanted to know just basically the history of it all. Like, where did it come from as far as, like, this whole genocide and black people thing? And what I found, like, in the early 1900s, a way for black people, black women in particular, to kind of reclaim their bodies after slavery, they started to rally around reproductive justice. Leaders like Harriet Tubman, Ida B. Wells, started to organize to try to get this idea that they heard that Margaret Sanger was doing to get into the black community. So then they invited her to speak at one of their women's groups in I think I read 1925. Oh, wow. 23, I think it was. Okay. And then she tried to open up one. This is in New York. Tried to open up one in Brooklyn, I think it was, in 25. And it did not really take off. No one really came. But then she started to rally the community and Harriet Tubman and Ivy Wells and all those other staunch, you know, women in the community. They started to rally behind her too, and she opened up another one, I believe, in 35, that was very successful. They saw like 3,000 people, you know, and the message really got out. But it was really about protecting and owning your body. And one thing that we believe in the fat acceptance and body positivity movement, whatever you want to call it nowadays, is that we believe in body autonomy. So yes. You have to believe that you can do whatever you like, you know, with your body. And coming from that history of slavery and coming from being used only as vessels of babies, you know, yeah. having babies only and mules in the field and all that, reclaiming your body and saying that you can have a say in how you have your children. And W.E.B. Du Bois, I believe, he wrote a piece about how being able, birth control is being able to control your wealth and control mm-hmm. and really empower you to be, to thrive in the community. That's why I started to look at when the shift changed yes. from that. But it was then also Marcus Garvey at the time was staunchly against it because he felt that the more Black people that were in the area, we need yeah. to, with more force in numbers, more power right. in numbers. So using that ideology, I see that how other people start to adapt that philosophy, and the Black Panthers also got involved in that same ideology. And so a lot of the messaging about the origins of it kind of got skewed. That's how I see it.
Yes.
But it really was about reclaiming the bodies of Black people initially. And so I know personally, my sister was diagnosed with a condition that she was diagnosed at Planned Parenthood, like mm. because she was between jobs and she didn't have much resources. And the reason why Margaret actually went into those communities, because those communities of color were impoverished, especially yes. in the 1900s. So right. in order to help them do that work that yeah. she was be able, you know, she then gave contraception to the women yes. there. And before that, on the plantations, like slaves were performing abortions
yeah.
on their own by any means.
Right.
And drinking elixirs that mm. made them abort and things of that nature. So yeah. all those things were unsafe and unhealthy, but they were still trying to reclaim their bodies. So she found a way to try to do it healthy and safer for them.
Yes. So. No, absolutely. You make so many excellent points. And, you know, Margaret Sanger herself grew up in poverty. And in real, she watched her mother. Her mother had, I think, something around like 11 children mm-hmm. and several miscarriages. So she really grew up watching her mother kind of suffer a lot of these from the burden of being a woman and just looked at as like a child pumping right. machine. Right. So she really developed this idea, you know, that, oh, poverty and having children, being stuck in that cycle, mm-hmm. that is what causes poverty, and that those are the women I want to help. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned when she first opened the birth control clinic. So the first one was open in 1916
right.
in New York. Mm-hmm. And it was shut down 10 days later because the cops raided it. Mm. And Sanger went to jail. This was probably one of several times she went to jail. And mm. even in prison, she was committed to helping and teaching the women there about the different methods of contraception that they could use mm-hmm. to protect themselves and to also control their own destinies and right. control their own futures. Because you're absolutely right. Like, when women do not have bodily autonomy and that freedom of choice mm-hmm. to make decisions around when to have children, what's best for the families and the life we want to envision, when we don't have that, we don't have economic power. We right. don't have power in so many other ways. So, yes, I think it is very important for Planned Parenthood to be very open about these conversations about our past, mm-hmm. Even though, it was 100 years ago, but realizing the history of our past really helps us better prepare for the future we want to envision today, 100 exactly. years later, exactly. and help us move forward and make known the voices that were unfortunately marginalized in the early beginning stages of the movement, like you're saying.
I mean, if you think about it, there's not really many things that we use today that didn't have any racial past that's complicated and bad.
That's true. That's like, very true. Yeah.
So I wouldn't be able to, you know, drive the car that I came in.
Yeah.
You know, if I, you know, are trying to devoid myself of all these things that that I'm in our society that is created by someone who didn't think the right way. So what's important is, you know, going forward, what we do and changing the narrative of what it is we thought it was and how we can come to terms in the past and then do the right things in the future.
Absolutely.
So one thing that I found really, really powerful was attending the Power of Pink.
Yes.
And that was amazing because being there among just people from all over the country who only wanted to serve the community, who only wanted to be there to make everyone's lives better.
Yeah.
And I've never been 2,000 people.
Yeah, around 2,000 people.
All of them were there for that reason. And it was just really inspiring to be around those people. And also hearing the stories of why they wanted to do it.
Yes.
Why they felt that it was their duty to do it.
Yes.
And a lot of people there, it wasn't that many people of color. It was overwhelmingly people that were white and people who were feeling like it was their lineage that caused them to, like, I'm going to say cleanse the sins of our, but, you know, absolutely trying to correct the wrongs in society based on what they know to be the case.
And yes.
I think that was amazing.
Yes. I think that is why so many, I don't want to say it's only white women, right, drawn to the reproductive rights movements, because reproductive justice, like black women, women of color, like you were mentioning earlier, are the foundation of this movement. It's just their stories have not been told. But I do think it is really important for white women especially to recognize some of the humble beginnings or some of the ableist, racist elements that came to create the birth control pill, let's say, because no doubt the history of the pill is problematic in itself. Like mainly black women, women of color, Native American women were forced to undergo experiments where they were not fully told of what was going on, just for the effort for the birth control pill to move forward. So it is really important that white women do reflect on that experience, so that we know that when we are talking about abortion rights and women's health care, that there's more to the story than just being pro-life or anti-choice. There are all these other intersecting identities and experience that come into play when we're talking about reproductive rights and reproductive justice.
Absolutely.
And I'm so happy that you were able to feel that at the conference.
It's
so exciting.
Yes.
Everyone worked so hard, you know, my team in Michigan and then at the national office. I was frankly really nervous when they announced they were going to do it in Detroit. Like, oh no.
Wasn't that the first one that
they was done? It was the second Power of Pink conference they did. They had done another one. I don't remember. It was like in, not D.C., North Carolina or something over there a couple of years ago. So this was the second one they did. And I think it went really well. And I'm so glad to hear it was a good experience.
I'm glad it was there. Anything, you know, in Detroit, something at large is a good thing. And it was Pride Week too.
Yes.
So a lot of people, I was trying to, you know, divert people down in Palmer Park
and
all the balls, everything that was happening. But it was really, really inspiring. And so it made me take some of the things that I learned there and to advocate, you know, in what I do, especially the call to action day.
Yes.
Because organizing around just what you have on your phone, just the contacts you have, the people that you know are on the same page when it comes to things that affect policy.
Right.
And how you can just say, look, could you just make this call or this email?
Right.
And how simple that is and when there's forces behind it to make change like that. Because you notice that they really listen.
Yeah.
You may, if there's enough of us, they stop in their tracks. They want to get elected the next term.
Right.
So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's really, you know, there's so many different fancy tools, right, for organizing now, social media, I'm so many different digital platforms, but that's all you really need mm-hmm. is your contacts, your voice, right. and letting your friends or your family know where you stand. Right. And I love that they did that big call to action and saw the impact of when everyone gets on their phone and just what text five people, the difference mm-hmm. you can truly make in yeah. that room.
I know I was really compelled to do more policy advocacy when I after the election. So yeah. I created this Facebook group. I forget what it was called. It was Sister Something. I name everything. But it was a private group. Okay, let's call to action. Let's do these things.
Yeah. And
here's who we can write. And let's just be, you know, just fired up. Because I think everybody was just so incredibly just distraught.
Yes.
I mean, and I didn't feel defeated, but I felt like I have to do more because I did what I thought I was supposed to do, which is go to the polls and vote the way
right.
I needed to. But it seemed like I didn't do enough.
Right.
And so I committed myself to doing more and trying to get more into policy and trying to see how that happens and trying to organize just people in my own circle
yes.
to be more active and make sure that we vote together and maybe it will spread out to other people. And, the reason why I joined the Economic Justice Alliance of Michigan was because I wanted to be more aware of how to affect policy.
Mm-hmm.
I work with Mothering Justice and Planned Parenthood.
Amazing,
and
Mothering Justice. Shout out to Mothering Justice.
Mothering Justice, yes. They taught me how with what you have, mm-hmm. you don't have to have a huge following. You don't have to
right.
have the tool necessarily to do all that you think you need to have mm-hmm. in order to affect change. But once you get together and collectively know who to target and know who to speak to,
right.
who your congressman is, and
right.
those things are powerful. And so, mm-hmm.
yes, absolutely. And that's like you mentioned, like voting is just half the battle.
Yeah.
It's I think in the era of Trump, like a lot of people are beginning to understand that the real important work comes kind of after
right.
you exit the polls too.
Oh, yeah.
And holding those people empowered that got elected accountable for their votes, mm-hmm. their stance on public policy
mm-hmm.
and making sure that they know your name, right?
right.
And you're going to call them up for every decision they make that you agree or don't agree with. And that's exactly how I train and organize as well. You know, I started off organizing before Planned Parenthood. I worked at a couple different abortion clinics in mm-hmm. the Detroit area
mm-hmm.
and really wanted to understand the medical side of things. I am not a numbers, data, science person, but I was like, I think there might be a calling in me for this, so mm-hmm. I'm going to try it out. And what struck me is the extreme propaganda toting older white people, especially mm-hmm. men, that would stand outside these clinics and shame these
yeah.
women, shame them for coming in as if, you know, they didn't know what they were coming in for, but it didn't matter. Just standing out there and having opinion like you own her body.
Right.
I don't think so. go back to your own neighborhood. But seeing that, I wanted to do something about that issue in particular. So I started with a group of friends at the time, this clinic escort program.
Mm-hmm.
My friend was standing outside of Scottsdale's clinic on Detroit's west side
mm-hmm.
and kind of got helping women navigate the protesters and go inside the clinic so they could go to their appointment. A simple act, but something that shows I'm in solidarity with you. And,
right.
you know, at the time, we wanted to expand and help another clinic, and we didn't have anyone following us. But all it took was, like, I think at the time there was, like, two or three of us. That
mm-hmm.
So we connected with someone that made us these bright pink vests
mm-hmm.
and, you know, started sharing our photos on Facebook, making flyers and just hanging them around the area where I lived at the time, around Wayne State's campus, and making a call to action, like, do you want to do this? And the response was incredible.
Wow.
So that's all you need. I feel like sometimes people just need, you know, a little push
mm-hmm.
or a call to action from their friends and
mm-hmm.
family to get them mobilized and started on their activism journey.
Well, I mean, it helps with social media to feel
yes.
like you're not alone.
Yeah, it does.
And that's what initially when I started doing social justice, I thought I needed to have a huge support of
yeah.
other people. But all you need to have is true intent. And true then intent. Everything else will follow. People will follow. Everything else will come into play.
That's so true. Mm-hmm. I love how you put that. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to feel like you can't climb these uphill battles and you're not the person to be speaking on these things. But mm-hmm. that's the one thing that's gotten me along. I said, Emily, just use your heart and they will know the rest.
Know.
And speak your
know.
Heart. And honestly, it takes you a long way. I know it's so cliche and everyone says it, but follow your heart, follow your passion. It brings you to places you wouldn't have thought possible.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're going to take a small break, and we'll be right back with Full Woman Radio.
Awesome.
Been a skinny girl, I got curves you could see clear across the world. But I'm a real strong sister with a big old dream. You should never judge a book by its cover, you see.
Stand tall, embracing my identity.
Cause ain't a damn thing false when it comes to me. Took a long time, now I'm feeling fancy free. Listen, let me tell you how I came to be. Guess what? I thought that I could never be like the girls on the screen. Straight hair, long legs, I felt so ashamed. Knew my hips would never match what the TV portrayed.
Flashback to when I was about 14.
I had fake long nails and a big old weave. I tried every diet trying to be size 10. Used to get so dizzy that my head would spin.
Welcome back. Welcome back, everyone, to Full Woman Radio. Hope you enjoyed the smooth sounds of Raja Lahar from Natural is the theme of our show. Emily was over here just grooving to
it. I was in my little weird way.
But if you're just joining us for the second half of the show, Full Woman Radio is a weekly podcast that highlights the amazing people around the world that are on the journey to self-love and who are finding their place in the body positive movement. With lifestyle, body politics, fashion, and everything in between, we will connect you to resources that will help you live free of society's limits and perception of who we are to be so we can live fully as we truly are. And we have today Emily Clancy from Planned Parenthood in the gym. So shout out to LaChina, who's sick today.
Yes.
I love you. I hope you see us. Hope you feel better so we can get you back on here.
Yes, and we'd love
next
I
week.
Would love to meet you soon.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
So we were talking about how we shouldn't be afraid to go out there and advocate for the cause that we believe in. If we have true intent, then we should go forth and prosper.
Right.
So tell me, what should we do now? There's a lot of things that are coming up that are at issue. I was working with a Mucigen organization that works with the faith-based organizations that tend to, in the church, there's a strong stance against a lot of LGBTQ community.
Yes.
And reproductive rights in some churches, and Michigan tries to talk to those churches and try to say, you know, with love, we need to embrace all people. And I work with them. I was on the Reproductive Justice Task Force.
Yeah.
And with them, I started to understand what was really at stake and learned about the things that were already passed that we can't do anything about.
Yeah.
And now we have to look and fight toward the future.
Absolutely.
So what is one of the pressing things that Planned Parenthood and people in the community need to rally around to fight against?
Yes. Thank you for asking. This is always a fun question for me to answer, right? Because there's so much going on right now. So much. But in regards to Planned Parenthood's organizational interests and just kind of what's going on at the national scale, I will start there. A big thing that we need to rally around right now, it's in all the media headlines, but reject and oppose Brett Kavanaugh for a Supreme Court nomination. Not only because of the sexual assault allegations that have just come to light, and in regards to that, I think we need to stand with the woman that accused him of sexual assault. Call our senators, oppose. I think we have to put our full fight into his rejecting his nomination. Even if it's not your senator, look to other states. Go to Planned Parenthood Action Fund's website and see where you can call to have the most impact, because his appointment to the Supreme Court could have an impact for generations to come on the lives and well-beings, not just of women, but of all people, especially.
Well, we know Trump said that we call him 45 and a half.
Yes, so, 45.
So 45 has always said if he appoints someone, it will be someone who will reverse Roe v. Wade. And then Brett Kavanaugh was saying that he will abide by the law. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that he won't chip away at that law.
Right.
So if something comes in front of him, he can then rule and be a deciding vote in chipping away at the precedent that was already set.
Absolutely.
And that's how it weakens everything.
That's how it weakens everything, like you said. And, you know, I don't know if your listeners know. I mean, I don't know why you would follow this stuff, but there's so many court cases around abortion rights and reproductive rights that go up against the courts in the state. And it's bound that one will make their way to the Supreme Court in years' time if Brett Kavanaugh is, you know, the judge sitting on that bench, that could have very disastrous consequences for all people that value their reproductive and sexual health care. And I think also, in response to, let's say, Kavanaugh does become appointed, what we can do here in Michigan is, you know, no surprise, really rally around, though, the 2018 election coming up.
There is a law in the books already that prohibits abortion.
Yes,
in Michigan.
Yes.
So if he chips away at that, then someone can use that old precedent.
Absolutely. If there was a case brought to the Supreme Court around abortion rights, and Brett Kavanaugh was the sitting judge and had a deciding vote, you know, very well, what people have theorized is that abortion rights could go back to the states. Mm-hmm. And there are already a lot of states that have in the books pre-existing laws that ban abortion. And there's not really any plan in place in some of those states to correct some of those laws, or a clear strategy for what will happen if Roe is overturned, you know?
Right.
So in Michigan is one of those states where abortion is illegal in our books. Mm-hmm. But I cannot say too much about it, but I think that is why it's really important that we do use our voice in this election and vote and research candidates that share our values around women's health care.
A lot of people just really believe also that Planned Parenthood is just about abortion.
Right.
That we're just rallying behind the woman's right to choose to abort. And that is not the case.
That is not the case. Actually, in the state of Michigan and Planned Parenthood's across the country, around 90% of the services we provide are preventative services. So things like getting birth control, getting an STI test, getting information about, you know, sex education and how to be an advocate in your community. Mm-hmm. So there are so many reasons aside from abortion that Planned Parenthood really has an impact. And it's those ways in particular, you know, we can't lower the rates of abortion if we don't provide preventative care, if we don't provide birth control, which is the fight that Margaret Sanger started 100 years ago, over 100 years ago. So that has always been the number one priority of Planned Parenthood. Now, we won't back away from our stance on abortion, that it is a person's right to choose whether or not they want that. But what we can do is
or birth control.
Yeah, yeah. And what we can do is just be committed to providing that educated information around different options, different mm-hmm. choices for women or people looking into those options.
Right.
So yeah, that has always been a misunderstanding mm-hmm. with our movement, and I think abortion becomes kind of the focus because it is the most controversial
right.
aspect of what we do, and they know that there is so much stigma mm-hmm. still around abortion, and that they could really. They've tried to take right. us down with it, but I invite them to try again because we'll still be here 100 years later.
Well, just to mention like the policy that we talked about that yeah. Trump is doing, there's what I think is the Religious Freedom Act. That this right. is like the slippery slope that seeks to defund Planned Parenthood and yes. other needed services in the community. So like say, for instance, a trans woman goes to the doctor, and a doctor can say, I'm not going to treat you.
Absolutely.
So where are they now to go?
Right, right. And exactly what you're mentioning is a really huge concern at the national level, at the state mm-hmm. level, for anyone, especially Planned Parenthood, that receives Title X funding. So Title X is the national family planning program that provides birth control and assistance for like family planning needs. Mm-hmm. So the Health and Human Service Department wants to take that funding away from organizations like Planned Parenthood mm-hmm. on the basis of providing abortion. And that means that there will be a barrier between patients going to their doctor mm-hmm. and what information their doctor can disclose for them, right. whether or not it's more of a political motive rather than a medical mm-hmm. Necessity. And that's why we're saying that a woman or a person's, you know, doctor appointment should be between them and their doctor. Right. No politicians in the exam room. This is a personal choice. Healthcare is not the government's decision.
Right.
So unfortunately, that proposed rule that you mentioned, the Trump administration is in the process of getting that sorted out, although Planned Parenthood supporters and around the country for Power of Pink and since that rule issue was statement have submitted so many comments to the Health and Human Service Department demanding that they not do that because that is our social safety net for,
right.
for people that are already at a healthcare disparity
right.
because of systematic disadvantages. So that's really who they want to take away the care from.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to protect our patients first.
Yes, absolutely. And I noticed that with that particular policy, they have to put it out to the public first.
Right.
To get the public opinion about it.
Right.
And then once they get the opinion, then they can start to develop processes
yes.
in place to then take that away.
Right, right.
What they intend, just like mm-hmm. the net neutrality.
Yes.
It's the same type of thing. They looked for people to, you know, hear the voices of the community, basically, and then was like, oh, well, everybody says they don't like it. But
right.
there was all these Russian bots that were then making all these comments.
Right.
Which drove a lot of the talk around, oh, well, all these people really don't want it. Like, no, they do. This
right.
is all fake stuff. But that's a whole different
yes, that I know.
Conversation.
And yeah,
but
it,
I was
it is.
When I couldn't join that fight because it
absolutely.
Was over by the time I knew about it.
Absolutely. And we just have to hope that obviously the comments that supporters and everyone submitted
mm-hmm.
Make a difference in determining the final outcome of Title X funding, but we are just unsure where that policy stands and
right.
what could happen. And it's really unfortunate too that we have to be so hyper focused on
right.
something like that has no harm to the public. In fact, actually,
right.
really helps women and families fulfill the destinies they want.
Mm-hmm.
So it's coming down the pipeline and things to worry about for sure. But I think we just have to stand strong in our convictions
mm-hmm.
and in oppositions to it. And I trust that Planned Parenthood will lead the way for that fight, whatever happens.
I believe so. It's,
yes,
so you're a force out there. But I do have this app on my phone. It's called Five Calls. Are you familiar with it?
No.
Called Five Calls. And so what it does is I'm not sure if you put in your location information, but you put in your zip code.
Okay.
And it will tell you who your representatives are.
Yes.
It will tell you the pressing issues in your district, in your state or whatever. and the phone number to call and a script.
Oh, perfect.
To say. So it's everything is automatic. It reminds you, like, have you made your call today? Mm. So it just is called 5 calls downloaded on all real plan. And
yes,
I think it's
please.
Amazing because it tells you, because sometimes you don't know.
Right.
Like, you know, I don't want you to do this, you know, when you call, but you want to be like,
right,
look
really
sound
passionate.
Informed.
Yeah. Yes.
So this really helps. It's called 5 calls.
Yes. Please download and use that.
Yes,
that's amazing do. Because really, I mean, I know it feels like you're just one in a thousand mm-hmm. some voices drowning out. But really, I think our voice is our biggest weapon. And it always has been in organizing if
right.
history has shown us anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
So continue to call. Make those 5 calls.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we are really impassioned, I think, in Detroit more than ever. I think there's so many things that are up for grabs, it seems.
Yeah.
Like our communities are up for grabs. Our
water,
land, our water,
yeah.
You know, our resources are just up for grabs. I was part of the People's Platform event a couple of weeks ago, and that was amazing, too.
Amazing.
So we're doing the work out here.
Yes. No, we're doing the work. I mean, it is a slow and steady climb towards progress.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if, you know, we can look back on just the history of reproductive rights, like we have come so long
right.
in 100 years. You know,
right.
I always kind of use that as a lens to view things. But
mm-hmm.
but it is a slow climb. But I do believe that we are uniting and doing the work necessary to make change. And I think some of the recent election polling results
mm-hmm.
throughout the country have
right.
really, really showcased like where we stand as a nation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to thank you for joining Dree and I last weekend.
Yes.
We had, we mentioned on the last show, we had our first event together, which was a boutique.
Yes,
which is,
boutique.
It's an outreach initiative for the LGBTQIA community. And I have forgotten what IA stood for.
So questioning queer, intersex, and asexual.
Asexual, okay. So we got a lot of donations.
Yes, we got so many donations, like bags and bags and bags.
Yes.
It was amazing.
And we fed a lot of people, and it was just a great, great thing. And I want to give a shout out to Amanda Sweet.
Yes,
had her own event, and she came and brought clothes from her event over to ours. So thank you so much, Amanda,
yes.
for being a part of it and just helping us further this. And we're going to do another one soon.
Yes, I cannot wait.
Because it's getting cold out there. A lot of people
yeah.
on the streets, and we want to
And we
want to
help them out, absolutely. And
mm-hmm.
and that's what it takes, all of us pitching in together
mm-hmm.
in whatever ways we can, whether it's donating a coat,
right.
a warm pair of shoes.
Absolutely. And
condoms.
Cara for providing all the food.
Yes. Oh, so sweet, Cara.
And we just had a lot of just a warm it was very hot, too.
Yes, it was. It was. I definitely got sunburned, my little baby pale white skin
right.
here.
So yeah, it was just really great. But that's another way of, another example, rather, of just starting. And just,
yes.
You know, we didn't know who was going to come. We just set up tent, and we just, like, here, come
yes.
get it. And people came, so.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is so amazing. Like, when your passion is truly providing for all people or
mm-hmm.
access for all, that's all you have, to,
all
do
you have to do
is just have, you know, a couple friends and some food and whatever your motivation purpose is
yes.
and get out there
right.
in the community. So I do want to thank both you and Dree for putting that together. It was really, really incredible. And I'm so glad I stopped by and
mm-hmm.
hung out with you all and got to experience that sense of community.
Well, it's really Dree's vision, too, that
mm.
that helped. And I just wanted to support her in whatever I could. And I knew that she is so passionate about the people in her community.
Yeah.
And I just was like, what are you doing? And let me help you. Because
yes.
she's been doing it alone for so long.
She has been. She's been doing it
so
alone.
So I was like, I'm just going to follow your lead.
Exactly.
And just let me know what I need to do, and I'll step in here and do it. But I'm just so happy to be a part of that. And there's more to come. And there's other ways, however you want to show up out there
yeah.
and just do whatever you want to do. I think every little bit helps.
Absolutely. Every single bit, whatever
mm-hmm.
you can donate or just showing up with your time.
Yes.
Like that don't
time,
discredit
yes.
how important that is. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, and I work with, I'm so fortunate to work with so many amazing Planned Parenthood volunteers mm-hmm. and activists that have given their time to our organization in ways that they won't even see the impact or the measurements of. So right. I am always so thankful of people's ability to just kind of drop what they're doing and follow suit for something mm-hmm. they believe in. It's incredible.
Well, speaking of Mothering Justice,
yes.
The Mamavist event has happened tonight. But the Mamavist Initiative is a wonderful program that they just launched where they're trying to organize mothers in the community
yeah.
to be out there, getting them involved in policy like they always do. But also because the elections are coming,
yes.
we need to be more activated in our community. So they are doing a program to where mothers, if they sign up, I think it's 40 people in their community to register to vote, you get a stipend.
Oh,
for
wow.
your efforts, which is, and it's a nice,
so
sizable stipend. So,
yeah.
launches today, but on the 29th
yes.
at Bamboo, Detroit, I'm hosting a Mama Conversation.
Yes.
It's free for all. Please register through our website. It's on Eventbrite, so Mama Conversations. And you'll be able to come hear more about the program, get some food, bring your babies.
Thing.
It's yes. free. And the first 25 people will get a $2 credit toward the metered parking on the street.
Oh, wow.
So don't worry about the...
Yeah, don't worry
about...
We got you.
Don't worry about
everything.
The $2.
All bases covered.
We got
I love
you.
That.
So bring your babies and come out and just learn more about the work that they're doing. And it's a celebration for them because they work so hard.
Yes.
They earn paid sick time.
Oh, absolutely.
Initiative. And then... Rock also the restaurant.
Yes, restaurant opportunity center.
They just celebrated a milestone too. So, a lot of people are out here just really working
yeah.
behind the scenes to make it better for everyone. And I just am so excited to be a part of all this.
Me too. And just for listeners out there, it's never too late to join in.
It's
you know,
too
like
late.
We appreciate anyone that comes to us and like, hey, how can I help? No doubt we'll show you how you can help out because there's a ton of ways.
So all the links to what we talked about today will be on our website
yes.
For you to look at fullwomanradio.com. There you find links to the lovely M the Gym. As well as the links to the articles you mentioned about Margaret Sanger and her beginnings and of the how it was transitioned and the things that I've learned
yes.
in my journey and also going forward what we can do to be more active in the community and and stop this Kavanaugh guy.
Yes. Can I
sure.
can I make a plug about one
sure.
of the links? Yeah, well, definitely for your listeners, check out some of the links I included to Planned Parenthood of Michigan's website and Michigan Planned Parenthood Advocates website.
Mm-hmm.
There you can actually learn how you can become more involved in our fight for reproductive rights and reproductive justice by becoming a member with us. It's as little as $10 a year. And basically with your support, financial support, we are able to fund our organizational advocacy across the state for reproductive healthcare access. So definitely check that out. And you can also find on our website some links to recent legislation that in the state of Michigan that is around contraception and abortion and sex education.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of good stuff there.
Well, Emily, we're going to bring our show to a close, but it was so great.
This was lovely.
You.
Thank you so much. I was so nervous. Like, I've never been on a podcast
before. Oh, but
before.
Once you start talking about it, just flows
and,
like
and you
water.
Make it so easy,
oh,
too.
Thank you so much. but again, all the links to get to Emily will be on our website,
yes.
fullerwomanradio.com. I am Cassie, your host, and China will be back next week. And also, the International Full Women Network is powering all of this. This is the network that we founded.
Yes.
It's our 10-year anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
So, thank you so much. So, doing more in the community, being involved in real change is what we're focused on this year. And just celebrating who we are in the moment, limitless and
yes.
free to do what we want. And not being held down to any principles or beliefs
yes.
that society places on us, because that's a lot of that.
Oh.
And then we have to talk to ourselves and also to the people in our immediate circles mm-hmm. about how to honor who we are
absolutely
in our journey to self-love, because it's not a destination. So it's a journey.
It's a journey.
So while we're on that journey, I want you to stay tuned to the network and to Fullman Radio. We'll be able to give you some of those tools, hopefully. So tell us how we're doing. Let us know if you have any questions, and we'll try to answer them for you in the next broadcast, which is next week on Thursday. So for now, this is Cassie and Emily. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.